Welcome to another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by Stefan Zimmerman of Limwalker in Louisville, Kentucky. Stefan is a board-certified master arborist and also holds the tree risk assessment qualification through the International Society of Arboriculture. He started at Heartwood in Charlotte in 1995. In 1999, Stefan graduated from Paul Smith College with a degree in urban tree management. He became a full-time sales arborist in 2003, and he moved to Louisville in 2011 to work with Limwalker.
Hello.
Hello, Stefan. I'm doing well, friend. I'm doing very well. I'm so excited to hear from you. It's been a long time coming, and I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to the Arb Life, Stefan, with open arms.
I'm glad to be here. I'm really enthused about what you do for the industry, and have a lot of respect for your writing, and enjoyed all the things that I've seen you produce over the last year or so.
Wow, Stefan, thanks for the compliment. I do want to get right to the point tonight. I want to focus on the aspect of arboriculture that is sales, and how it pertains to production. But more importantly, I'd like to focus on some of the finer items of tradecraft that you find yourself focusing on, particularly as a sales arborist. And I think one of the hardest things in today's market is to sort of gain the trust of the clients and potential clients that we may have as professionals in the industry. And so I'd like to sort of give you the floor and ask if you can talk about some of your secrets in order to gain client trust and to move forward with the sale of a job.
Sure. Brief history on my experience. I started working in the industry in 1995 in Charlotte, North Carolina with Heartwood Tree Service, and I was fresh out of high school. After a couple of years of working on the ground and starting to get up into trees, I realized this was something that I definitely wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I found a school in upstate New York that, at that time, there was a handful of schools in the country that had anything like urban tree management or agricultural degrees. And so I got an associate's degree in urban tree management in 1999. When I came back to Heartwood, I ran a group for a few years. And in 2003, I had a devastating grow line injury where I broke my ankle trying to get a piece of dead wood on a tree that we weren't supposed to prune. I was just doing a freebie for a client, and came down real hard on the edge of a sidewalk, and that took me out of the field for a few months. And in recovery, I started going out and taking calls, and quickly realized that I was a much better seller than the actual doing of the work, though I still have immense respect for all aspects of the tree industry, and I think that's one of the most important things in having not only the respect and the trust of your clients, but the people that work in the company. I've worked over the years with salespersons that seem to be in it for the money. And that shines through. I think that the people in the field can see that when the specs are poorly written out, when a crew leader goes out and has a work order to do something that maybe makes them feel uncomfortable as a, you know, certified arborist, or that somebody or a salesperson is maybe putting their life, you know, in jeopardy just to get a sale. So it, to me, it boils down to having a respect for our craft, top to bottom, making sure that I know everything that's going on in the latest techniques, equipment, and really trying to stay grounded that way. As far as sales training, when I first started, I was just given a truck and a phone and a list of people to go out and see. And I quickly realized that I wanted to make this my career and my profession. So I asked my boss at that time at Heartwood if I could get some sales training, and I have to give him all the credit in the world because he spent thousands and thousands of dollars sending me to professional sales training programs, which were mostly for like corporate sales. The one program that I was in for multiple years was called the Sandler Sales System, and it was an intense one-on-one coaching and teamwork with salespeople from the different professions. What we focused on was you know, closing big deals, finding objections, working on you know, a lot of the stuff that I did in that program really didn't translate to what I do every day, which is go out and meet Mrs. Jones. And she may not be the quote unquote decision maker. Going through that program really did give me some very valuable tools. And one of the biggest things that I like to talk to people in our industry about is the idea of the reason why people call us. You know, so when somebody reaches out to a tree service and they have a request, they'll say, I think my tree needs pruning, or I want to get some prices. I want to get some prices on getting some tree work done, or need to get this tree pruned or removed. The bottom line is that they have an underlying pain. I apologize.
No, don't. It's not a problem at all.
At the end of this, he wants to give a little shout out and tell you who he is.
We'd be more than happy to have him.
Yeah, and if I'm just going long-winded on a subject, you want me to...
No. I think it's fascinating. How your role has evolved from, you know, actually being on the crew, and then sort of, you know, elevates into this position where you start to get all of this really high level training, and as far as the sales goes, and how it all blends together, and you know, sort of where you left off there was how you sort of took that training, many years of training and experience, and what it sounds like, you know, happened was that you really sort of fine tune it and make it your own.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, taking some of the broader points of, you know, sales quote-unquote techniques. There's a wonderful, if anybody wants to better themselves or learn more about sales techniques, there's a guy in Charlotte called Jeffrey Gittomer, Gittomer. And I'd really recommend you go to his website and sign up for his weekly e-newsletter. He is probably most aligned with my philosophy of sales, which is becoming what's called a trusted advisor.
Right.
When I have So on my business cards, it says my name, and then it says trusted advisor, and then it says board certified master herbalist, previous assessment qualified, blah, blah, blah. But the trusted advisor is really my goal, and that's never achieved on, you know, a first-time visit. But I've been here in Louisville for about 7 years now, and I have probably about a dozen to 20 clients that do not question. They just tell me what they want.
Right.
They say, this is what I'm thinking. Is this a good idea? What do you think? And I say yes or no. Or I say, yeah, that's good, but we never talk about price because there's trust.
Right.
And what Jeffrey Ginnemer talks about is creating an atmosphere of buying rather than trying to sell somebody. So in thinking about what I wanted to talk about and trying to keep it brief, I had a list of things that I think are really important to keep in mind because this is my 14th year of doing full-time sales, and so it's taken a long time for me to get to this comfort level, and I'm starting to get gray hairs, and that in the minds of your typical homeowner, you know, they see somebody that's in their 40s versus somebody like when I started, I was in my late 20s, and I was still kind of a kid. But one of the things that I talked about, and I've given a few seminars on sales for the green industry, not just tree services, like seven bullet points that I like to just say these are the rules. Number one is to be on time. You know, so if you say you're going to be somewhere or somebody sets up an appointment at 11:30, you're going to be there at 11:25 or 11:27. If you're going to be there at 11:33, you've called at 11:29 and let them know that you're around the corner.
Right.
That makes the difference between the salesperson that just shows up whenever, or distinguishes you from, like, the cable company that gives you the window of 2 to 4 hours. Now, there's obviously other things that we do where somebody calls in and they just have a simple request and I'll get to it within a week. There's no set time that's different. But being on time and being responsible with that, in that if you're not perfectly on time, you have the technology in a cell phone to let somebody know you're not going to be there. And then the second most important thing is being honest. So this came semi-naturally to me, but it's something that I harp on more and more. If I'm honest with my gut feeling about a situation, a tree, a disturbance between a neighbor and somebody else, 2 years down the road, when I come back, I'll tell them exactly what I feel, because my honesty means I don't have to really remember what I said. I'm just going to give you what I think is the honest truth. Right. And that really pays off over the long run. So being honest, an example of building that trust would be, Mrs. Jones calls and is very afraid of this tree, that when you get there, you're like, this tree's awesome. You know, it doesn't need anything.
Right.
It doesn't need fertilization. It's got terrific growth. She's got mulch around it. I can tell she's watering it. It's going to need some work down the road. And you tell them, okay, in 2 years, finally give me a call back. We'll probably have to clean up the deadwood or clear it for the roof. It's going to cost about $600, 2 hours worth of work.
Right.
When she calls back in two years, she's not calling anybody else because you were upfront and honest with them and you weren't trying to make that, you know, that kill the sale right there. The third most important thing is empathy. And this is one of the things that I think took me the longest. I don't think that there's any other profession in our, or other part of our industry that will make you hate people more than doing sales full time. I've had to struggle with being jaded, getting burnt out. But at the end of the day, the more I continue to work on my empathy with people and understanding where they're coming from, I've actually been able to increase my sales tremendously. In case in point would be, when I first started, somebody would say, if this was your tree, what would you do? And I'd instinctively say, well, it's not my tree, so it's really up to you. And when people are asking you, what would you do if this was your tree, they want you to tell them what you would do if this is your tree. They're literally asking you to tell them what to do.
Right.
And that's when you can take that, and you steer the wheel and you say, okay, you're my mother. Okay, my mom just moved into this place. This is exactly what I tell her.
Right.
That's a level of trust. You know, you're making that personal connection, and that's number four is personalization. If I meet somebody, now my phone right now, I have probably close to 800 contacts saved in my phone. I have people going back as far as Charlotte, and I literally have people still calling me from Charlotte just to talk.
Right.
Clients that I had, you know, and I haven't been there in 7 years. But when they call, I'll say, hey, Betty, how are you doing? You know?
Right.
And that blows people away. So, like, again, with that technology, if you have a connection with somebody, it doesn't matter if they're spending $200 a year with you or if they're spending $8,000, $15,000, $50,000 a year, you have a connection with them. You program their name in your phone, and a year, 2 years later, when they call your cell phone and you say, hey, John, they're blown away.
Right.
They're just like, oh, well, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you remember me.
Right.
And I don't remember their phone number.
Right.
But I know, you know, when they call, I know who it is that's calling me. And I think that's really important is to make those personal connections. The fifth thing in terms of, like, turning the corner in sales is following up, you know, so you make a connection with someone, you give them a proposal, the worst thing you can do is just to kind of leave it be.
Right.
I was guilty of that for most of my sales career. When I moved here, there was a, can you get Sandy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, about the don't worry about it.
But when I moved here to Louisville, when I moved here,
my line.
That's my son, Climber. He wants to say his lines. I will. I'm going to come get you.
Can't wait, Climber.
Climber Maximilian, that's my pride and joy. He's 8 years old. He's just a whiz kid. I love him. But again, following up is just reaching out to someone and saying, hey, do you have a chance to think about that? Give them an opportunity to say yes or no. You'd be surprised at how much extra sales you can make just by following up a week or two after giving that initial proposal. The sixth point is not wasting your time. So I think the thing that I see most with discussions online about sales is like, how do I differentiate myself from the competition? Or how do I convince somebody that I'm a professional and that someone else? And that's bullshit. Like, there's no reason for you to waste your time trying to convince somebody that doesn't need convincing. Right. About 50% of the people I see are not going to be clients of mine, and that's okay.
Right.
But I don't spend a lot of time with them.
Right.
I don't suffer fools lightly.
Right.
What I try to do with my sales calls is to do what's called a 70-30, where I try to talk about 30% of the time, and I like to let the prospect talk about 70% of the time. If you actually practice this, and this is like a total Zen technique, it's incredibly difficult, and I still have to work on it. I still have to, like, walk away and be like, gosh, all I heard was myself talking there. If you're selling, you shouldn't be telling. You should be listening. Because, again, to bring it back to, you know, the sales training, the, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars of training, all it was talking about was identifying the reasons why people are calling you, and the main reason is pain. And that pain could be anything from the fear of a tree falling over and crushing your house and killing your newborn son, or the pain of the neighbors having a better landscape than them, and they're ashamed of it. The typical sales prospect, your traditional roles are the salesman's there to take their money. So it's okay for a prospect or a homeowner to lie to you. And if you think about it, if you've ever, had a big purchase or something like that, like say you had to get a new air conditioning system for your house, and you know it's going to cost $8,000 or $9,000, and you may be getting two or three bids, you're not really going to tell that, that person that comes out of everything, because you don't want to give away too much. And too often I see, and it's funny, what I like to call it is just disarming people, where I just, we begin the conversation and, they say, well, how much is this going to be? I don't know, like half a day is about $1,200 and a full day is $2,400. Is that, sound anything? And some people are like, oh, okay, that's good.
Right.
Or some people are like, wow, that's a little bit more, but let's continue this conversation. You've already broken through that first barrier.
Right.
The price.
Right.
The biggest mistake I think people make is spending an inordinate amount of time talking about how good they are,
right,
what they're going to do, and then they go back to the car and they write something up and they come back and they drop a $2,000 bomb on somebody and they never prepped them for it.
Right.
And they've wasted 45 minutes. Personally, I don't spend more than 30 minutes on any call, unless it's like a huge property.
Right.
I don't like to waste people's time, and I don't like to waste my own time.
Right.
But the key here is that selling is not telling. You should shut your mouth and let people talk their stupid little heads off, because
right,
that's what they want. They want somebody to listen to them, and you'll actually hear why they called you, and then you'll be able to repeat it to them. You'll get to, some of the more advanced techniques would be like getting somebody to tell you what they want you to do, so like it would be a shame if that tree came down on that house. What do you think could happen there? Well, maybe we should prune it. Yeah, maybe we should prune it, or something like that. And that's, again, just kind of like more technique than
right
anything, but if you just look back to being honest and being empathetic, you're going to kind of stumble your way into those things anyway. And then the number 7 point is to never have bad breath. Can't stress this point enough. It's just, if some people are cursed to have the yuck mouth, and if you need to get gum, don't chomp away at the sales call, but get some Tic Tacs, brush your teeth a couple times a day. But you can't be asking for thousands of dollars if people are shying away from you, and that's just part of being professional.
That was absolutely spectacular. I really think that the more you go on in the industry as an arborist, everyone sort of progresses through their career in different ways, and I really think it a lot of times making money in this profession, really, I always seem to link it back to selling work. I think it's one of the biggest challenges that people have in running a business is actually having work to do and actually having work that they like to do. And again, it's such a complex thing, because I think people are just by nature really complex beings. But a good salesman, a good sales arborist, a good saleswoman can really sort of break down that complexity, and really, I think you really hit the nail on the head. Selling and not, or you know, selling is not telling, is sort of quieting yourself and letting the client let the sale unfold. You sort of hit on that point, is letting the sale unfold. But you know what's interesting, Stefan, is that you also touched on the fact of efficiency, and I think that is what really illustrates how sales arboriculture is so relative to production arboriculture, is that you don't want to waste time when you're talking. I think when you're talking about making big profits and having big productive days and big productive weeks, it really does come back to that, is we don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste our time, and we don't want to waste our clients' time, because at the end of the day, sometimes that's what makes the most money, is that efficiency. And so it's interesting to see that in those seven sort of sales rules that you've so brilliantly have laid out. I am in such awe of you and of everything that Limewalker does. You guys definitely have worldwide respect. I know you get visiting climbers from all over the world, and people all over the country hold everyone there in such high regard for the culture that you have created there, and in what you guys are doing for the tree care industry. You're really setting a standard, and you're really setting an example as to what it is to be a professional arborist. And I can't thank you enough for joining me tonight, Stefan. Can we get Climber on the line there, or is
Climber? You want to say something real quick?
Okay.
Say right into this microphone.
Okay, this is Baby Luigi here. Who is there?
This is Climber. This is TC with the Arb Life. This is the ArbLife.com, brother.
I barely heard what you said.
That's TC with the ArbLife.com, and he appreciates it. Good job, bud.
Thank you. Thank you, Climber.
Why? And I wanted to end by just saying, like, the tree industry is no place to try to make a killing. It's no place to try to get rich. That's one of the things I learned from Pat George at Heartwood, is hard work is the result of, you know, just dedication to the craft. He is and was my main mentor in just trying to be somebody that can go out and sell $1 million a year in tree work. But you have to find a why. And for me, it's my family. I've got two young kids. It doesn't have to be a family, but it could be your why is I need, you know, to make a living so that I can go out and kayak or mountain bike or something like that. It can never be about the money, because if it is about the money, people are going to see that. You're going to be shallow, and it's not going to be sincere. You have to do this for the love of it.
Well, Stefan, I'll tell you what, you definitely do it for the love of it and for the craft, and it absolutely shows. And you know, you are a spectacular arborist and a spectacular family man, and really you are an inspiration to everyone in the industry. And I want to thank you one more time for joining me tonight, and I hope in the future I can have you back and continue this conversation about what it is that we do as professional arborists.
Well, sure, I'd love to collaborate with you on maybe a writing piece too. So, because I could talk forever.
No, I
but, I love what you do. I love what you do.
That Thank you, Stefan. Thank you so much. And like I said, I will be in touch with you, and we can hopefully continue this conversation for quite some time.
All right, bud. Have a good night.
Have a great night, Stefan. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.